Blog Talk Radio.
Lucifer, son of the morning, I'm gonna chase you out of earth.
Shabbat Shalom, Mishnah. Shabbat Shalom, Israel. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. Welcome to the Israelite Way of Life, powered by the Social Change Action Network. I'm your host, Elder V, and it truly indeed is a pleasure to be with you once again. And as we come together to honor the Most High, to take this rest, I think it's rest on. And to be able to come together and go through the laws, fellowship, and do this the way we best can while we are in captivity. We remember the Most High and we remember the laws. It is my prayer that you are doing, that you are highly favored and blessed, and that you're doing well, that you're in good health, that all is well with you on this seventh day, the Shabbat. Let's go before the Most High in prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from all manner of evil, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For those of you that awake, morning to you, to my awakened brothers and sisters, morning to you. I have to say it like that because not too many people are awake. Some people aren't aware, but not awake. Some people are awake and not aware of their surroundings and what's happening to them. And we know that the Most High is not the author of confusion. He's given us a tremendous task, a tremendous responsibility to make known his deeds, his laws, his statutes, and to prepare our people for his soon, soon, imminent return. He is definitely on his way back. Scripture tells us that it'll be a dark day, so not to long for, to be too eager for it, but I am getting a little homesick. I don't know about you. I'm longing, and the entire earth is groaning and travailing, waiting for the sons of God to come forth. And it is about to be our time. We are definitely at the end of the Gentile rule. So nevertheless, I don't want to belabor the time because I know the time gets away from us once we start getting into the scriptures and the precepts and talking about the law. But basically, I want to be able to encourage you, exhort you, and we talk and then let you go ahead and continue to get your rest on. Nevertheless, if you have not listened to any of these shows, we are here on the seventh day to let you know that when he fulfilled the law, that did not mean that the meaning of that was not that he destroyed the law. He fulfilled the prophecies that were spoken of him coming to fulfill the law and bring everything to pass. The law was never done away with, despite what Creative Flow of Dollars is preaching on and a bunch of other pastors, and they're telling you because they have no idea. They've been trained by theologians and seminaries and the Nicene Council and curriculum that comes from the Catholic Church to keep our people in bondage. The law is not done away with. However, we are under grace, and it is almost purposely impossible to keep all 613 because we don't have the priests in the temples. I mean, the temples and the synagogues, and we don't need to make sacrifices any longer. But if you go into the archives of the Israelite way of life, you'll find more of these lessons that we have taught on in the past as it pertains to that. But this particular show is to let you know that the law is not done away with, mainly because they are indicative of our culture. For our lost people, you, black man, Latino man, indigenous person, scattered diaspora who don't know who the hell you are, these laws help to establish your culture so that we would be identified as the people of the Most High. And that is the importance of coming into these laws and keeping these laws so that that identification can be a part of you. So there's more about that, as I mentioned, some of the shows in the archives, and we want to thank you for listening. We don't ask for money on this show. We're not seeking for that. We're here to do our Father's will. So with that being said, we're going to do two parts. I want to get into, if you notice in the description aspect of the show, I mentioned that I was going to be a prosperity preacher today, since that's what you Negroes like. I'm going to go ahead and preach on prosperity. Yeah, I'm going to put a twist on it in a way that you probably aren't used to hearing it. We're going to talk about the real prosperity that the scripture teaches us about, the way the Most High wanted us to understand prosperity and how to attain that, how to achieve that. So bear with me as we get ready to go to scripture. Let's look at Isaiah. Go with me to the book of Isaiah if you've got your Bible. Isaiah. Look at Isaiah, the 58th chapter. And we're going to start with the sixth verse. Isaiah 58 and 6 reads like this: Is not this the fast that I have chosen? This is the Most High speaking. Let me say this before I get there. The entire chapter speaks of fasting and self-righteous people who are fasting for strife, gender strife, and to be seen, and talks about how they have fasted, afflicted their souls, and expected things in return. And they fast for pleasure. They find pleasure in it. They fast for debate and to smite with the fist wickedness. If people can do things out of self-righteousness to attain things, and this is what you see at a lot of these prosperity churches, and a lot of people even give to get something in return. It's a lottery system. It's a jackpot. And you'll find that it quickly moves from the fasting aspect to the Shabbat, the Sabbath, the prosperity, healing, and what the Most High will do for you, and what He looks at and honors more than you even afflicting your soul for reward. Most times we would find people in the Old Scripture, Old Testament, afflicting their souls for repentance, sackcloth and ashes, and bowing down to try and chastise their flesh. But nevertheless, let me go back to this verse 6, chapter 58 in Isaiah, the 6th verse. Is not this the fact that I have chosen to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that he break every yoke? He's asking a question. Is this not what I desire more than anything? Of course, this is what we need to get into, understanding true deliverance and understanding how to break the yokes off of our brothers and sisters' necks that are in bondage, that are asleep, that are caught up in confusion, demonic possession, sorcery, witchcraft because they're on drugs, schizophrenia, can't find peace of mind. He's saying this is the fast that he's calling for. 7th verse says, is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house, when thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh? How many times do you see the beggar, the homeless, the naked man coming down the street, and you say, oh, here he comes begging for money, and you cross the street? But yet you want to worship and praise the Most High, be self-righteous, tell everybody what you don't eat, what you don't do. You can walk away from scrimps. I don't watch TV no more. Got your garb on and everything. But in the Apocrypha, I forget right now, I believe it's the book of Sirach. It talks about, it was the father giving instruction to his son and saying, never turn your back on the hungry and the homeless, and never seek not to give alms to those that are in need. So how often do you find yourself ministering and blessing those that are without and not finding a reason or excuse to say, they're probably just going to buy alcohol, blah, 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 blah. Scripture says, be careful, for some have entertained angels unaware. Scripture also says that such as ye have done unto the least of them, ye have done also to me. So how you have blessed those that are less fortunate is how you've also blessed the Father. So this is why he's saying, how come you're not blessing those that are without and taking care of them? Especially based upon how much the Father has blessed you. Look around you right now and see what you have. It's just another day in paradise for you compared to somebody who slept on the street. Even if they took your dollar to buy a beer to medicate themselves from the depression and state of mind that they're in, from lack of nutrition and no shelter, no running water, no toilet. And even if you live in a studio apartment and you got hot water and a thermostat and a refrigerator, it's just another day in paradise for you. How often have you brought someone into your home that was homeless, as the scripture says right here in Isaiah 58 and 7, that you were willing to let someone stay with you until they got themselves together, to help them get themselves together? He says, is this not the fast that I'm calling for? This is what the Most High is saying. Let's look at verse 8. Then shall thy light break forth. Now, if you want to see some light in your life and you're living in darkness and nothing's going right for you, maybe it's time you get away from your plight and begin to go do what Isaiah 58, 6, and 7 says. You're going through hell. Your life ain't right. I'm confused. I want to get out of here. I can't take it. I can't stand it no more. Forget about you. Why don't you die for a minute and go back to verses 6 and 7 and begin to bless somebody today on the seventh day of the Sabbath, the Shabbat. And this is what will happen. Verse 8, then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thy health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. You won't have to brag about it, tell everybody. People will see it. They will know it. You'll be about it. And the glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. Imagine your righteousness preceding you before you walk in the door for an interview. Imagine walking out of an interview and then not understanding that great presence that is with you because it's favor, but it's the glory. You understand that all of this is a part of you being a part of the fast, of ministering to other people and being available for the Most High to utilize to anyone and everybody? This is powerful. Verse 9 says, then shall thou call, and the Lord shall answer. He's not answering you now because you're selfish. But he's saying, after you do these things, you can call me and I'll answer. Then he says, thou shalt cry, and he shall say, Ahaya. Ha! He shall say, here I am. Verse 9 says that he will say, here I am, immediately, because he knows that you are a true servant. You are a true waiter, waitress. You are waiting on him. You are serving him. You are available to him. You're not going to neglect the downtrodden, the oppressed, the burdened. You're not going to neglect them or just walk by. He knows he has your heart. He knows that you have the heart of a servant, and you've got the mind of the Most High. And you can be that way and be a slash warrior, soldier, and be strong. But you've got to have the heart of a servant. Verse 9 says, he shall say, here I am. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, the putting forth the finger. Look, he's already saying, get rid of the yoke. What is the yoke in reference to? That's the yoke that they used to put upon the oxen that used to till the ground that they could control in any kind of way. Our people have to have a yoke of captivity on them right now. And you're always complaining about the yoke and the captivity. In your mind, through your spirit, from the word, you can be free. You must be free. So he's saying in verse 9, if thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke and putting forth the finger, that's pointing the finger at everybody, blaming everybody, and always got to want to tell somebody off running your mouth, even you self-righteous Hebrew sisters want to be pointing your finger, brothers talking about I can preach and all this stuff. Everybody needs to chill for a second. First of all, let me let you know you can't preach. You're supposed to do what a woman is born to do, which is succor, encourage, strengthen, prophesy. Not preach. Prophesy means encourage your husband, if you have one, to encourage him to go forth. Let me get back to the point. My point is that he also says, and speaking vanity, all you bragging about your beauty or your capabilities or all that you can do or all that I used to be or all that I achieved. He said, if you can put away that, and if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity. That means he'll promote you and you will shine and where nobody ever saw you before. When you begin to do verse 6 and 7 and even verse 10, draw out your soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul. Then thy light shall rise in obscurity and the darkness, and your darkness will be as noonday. That means your worst time, the worst thing you could be going through, it'll still seem like daytime. It'll never be that dark if you find yourself walking in this. This is what I'm saying to a lot of you, you so-called Christians, Hebrews, whatever you want to call yourself. You're in a dark situation because you do not have the right perspective on your assignment, your disposition, what he expects of you. You're too caught up into your knowledge, how much you know for to compete. This has become this whole thing about you being awake and knowledge and scripture, it has become like a fashion. I want to say the word escapes me. It's a trend. You're trending. It's a trend for you. And whichever way it swings, you're swinging. You don't even have the mind to be a trendsetter. It's not even in you. Let me go back to these verses. He said even your darkness will be as the noonday. Chapter 58 and 11. And the Lord shall guide thee continually. Do you need direction? You don't know what to do? It's because you're not where you need to be. I know for a fact that the Ruach HaKadosh leads me when I'm still, when I listen. And I take into consideration what my flesh wants to do and the consequences. And most of the times what the Ruach is leading me is a step of faith, something that most of us would not be willing to walk into because we don't see how it's going to happen or if it's possible. And once we get in it, we're amazed because we realize from the onset we didn't think it could happen. Verse 11, and the Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in drought. When everybody else is hungry, broke, busted, and nothing else is going on, he's saying, I got you. I'm going to feed you. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to make sure that you have enough gas. Make sure your bills are paid. I'll make sure that you got food in the fridge. It's going to look like you just got crackers, eggs, and water, but at the end of the week, you're going to realize, you know, I ate, got to work, I'm fine. See, I have to simplify it for you. I got to keep it simple for you. In other words, he's saying that you will be just like the widow who kept going to the barrel of meal and it never went empty. Never went empty. He shall make thy bones fat, and thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water, whose waters fail not. And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. That means thine and thy house will build the wasted places. Thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations, and thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in. That is for time to come. That will be for your life when you get in the right capacity, the right thing. God, the Father, the highest, looking for repairers of the breach to restore the lost order, to restore these commandments, these laws, to restore the way that he initially gave us as Israel, true Yasharala, what he truly gave us, not this corrupt Christian theology that is telling people you can do whatever the hell you want to do as long as you repent, then go back and do it some more. And have a life with no constraints and no true king. Now, and sit up here and worship a false image of Caesar Borgia and worship a cross and worship Allah and worship a stone, worship a moon god, and have all these various religions all up and down the street with five churches on one block because each pastor's got to get a paycheck? Come on, man. Let's look at verse 58:12. And they that shall be of thee shall fill the old waste places. That's key. The ones that shall be of thee will help to go back and build those old things. I read that, repair the breach and restore passage to verse 13. If thou turn away thy foot from the Shabbat, that's the Lord's 50 because this is the Sabbath. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing the pleasure on my holy day. This seventh day is the Father's holy day. He will never do away with something that he established that is kadosh, holy. And suddenly, all of a sudden, he'd be like, that's okay, we good. We ain't got to keep it no more. Y'all do what y'all need to do. Y'all do something. Yeah, that's cool with me. That's not the Most High. He don't get down like that. But you so trendy and go with everybody in the crowd, popular, and you say, well, Sunday, that's what's up. That's what we do. No, the seventh day is the holy day. Sabbath, Sabbatine, Sabaoth, seven. Shabbat, that's today. This is a holy day, and this is what he requires of the holy day. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure, that means don't do what you want to do. Don't go seek to be entertained, thrilled, running around, getting high, sexing, movies, shopping. Cease from what you want to do. It's a holy day. And call this day a delight. In the process of not doing what you want to do, the scripture is saying that you must say this is a delightful day. His commandments are not grievous towards us. You must tell yourself this is a day of joy, peace. You must look forward to the holy day when you're working hard and say, I can't wait to get to the Shabbat. This is the day that the Most High has made. His Son, Christ, my brother. And listen, call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shall honor him, not doing thine own ways, not finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words. That means you don't need to be, get off the cell phone. Stop gossiping. Stop with the vain philosophies. Stop the dirty jokes. Give praises to the Most High. Nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words. Then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth and feed thee the heritage of Jacob, thy father. For the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. Now, there's your prosperity message right there. Even in this captivity, no, we don't want Satan's riches. We're not trying to be ballers. We don't need no Bentleys. We don't need no fame. We don't need his fame. But he will have you like Joseph, where you will be a prince in Egypt. He'll have you like Daniel, where you'll be a counselor in the city. He'll have you protected. He'll have you where you are okay. You're riding nice, your bills are paid, you're taken care of. This whole Isaiah 58 lets you know you'll be okay. He said, occupy until I come. When he gets here, he's coming with a reward. But it's because you're willing to do what he's asking you to do for the downtrodden, the homeless, those without, those who don't have, those less fortunate. Preach these statutes, laws, and commandments. Do not stray away from them. Stand tall and be a light in the midst of darkness. Do not compromise. Do not find yourself constantly sinning. How dare we turn our backs on the Father to go back into the world once we've been enlightened and awakened to this righteousness, this transformation. It's like a dog turning to its own vomit. There's safety in the laws and statutes and commandments. First John tells us that sin is transgression of the law when you transgress the law. So all of these things are important, but when you put them in your life, it gives you discipline, and discipline is what makes you a disciple of Christ. So if you want to be a Christian, you can't be a Christian if you don't have discipline, and that discipline comes from formatting yourself within the laws. So I say to you, brothers and sisters, is that you got to stand. You got to stand. I really wanted to go into the Ten Commandments today and break down the first four, because people have a way of twisting the scripture that says these two commandments are the only two commandments you need to keep, which is love God and love your neighbor as you love yourself. But they don't understand that the first four commandments deal with loving God. And we have a world that teaches you to love yourself above all things. Above all things. And we want to do away with that and understand that you must love God wholeheartedly. Wholeheartedly. And a lot of people don't understand even how to do that. And so if you look at the first four commandments, and I'll get into it next week, you'll understand exactly how that responds to the Most High. We know that God is a title, and we know that there are names that people use. One name I will not use is, well, I won't get into that. I've done lessons on that. I don't want to get off into a tangent. But the second six deal with how you love your neighbor and the importance of how you treat your mother and father and honoring them. And we know we're in this captivity. We have to even also, if you decide you want to take a job, you have to be obedient to your boss within this captivity. And when it says, render unto Caesar what is Caesar's, that means pay your taxes, that kind of stuff. You have to do that. But when it says that you are subject to the authorities and the laws, that does not mean you are subject to these political powers. Those are demonic. It means that you are subject to the laws that are put in place by the Most High. Satan couldn't even do what he's doing had he not gotten permission from the Father. So the Father's allowing him to be the God of this world, the deceiver. But his time is almost up. And with that being said, my time is almost up too. So I am Elder V. This is the Israelite Way of Life, brought to you by the Social Change Action Network. And I'm going to say always that the only sure obstacle to truth is to think that you already have it. For truth is a journey and not a destination. Shabbat Shalom, Kwam Yasharala, rise Israel, be the best you can be. Until next time.
Lucifer, son of the morning, I'm gonna chase you out of earth. Out. hat in hand, and if him slip a gun with him hand, I'm gonna put on a iron shirt and chase Satan out of earth. I'm gonna put on a iron shirt and chase the devil out of earth. I'm gonna send him to outer space to find another race. I'm gonna send him to outer space. I've gone with him, honey.